Hello, everyone. A little bit of pre-talk for this pod. We were very fortunate to have Matt Swift on with us, but in order to get everything set up, we did record one day early. Obviously, news has now broken of Enzo Capetti and Karol Swiderski being potentially seen at other clubs, not at Charlotte FC this season. It is not addressed in this podcast. If you would like to hear our thoughts on that, you can be sure it will be in the next week's episode. We love you, and over to me.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.
Hello, everyone. My name is Logan, and that, of course, means you're listening to another episode of The Crown Cast. And let's be honest, at this point, I tell you almost every time that we have something special for you. It's just kind of my thing. But I do actually think we have something pretty special for you today. Today, we have a man who is blessing us with his presence, a man so steeped in Charlotte FC history, so embedded in the club's legend that he has a podcast of his own. It's Matt Swift. Hello, Matt.
How's it going? What an intro. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Josh likes to say that I overhype people, that I get them to a point that they really, from this point, it's just downhill.
Oh, it definitely will be downhill for sure.
The good news is we're going down the hill together, my friend. This is a really special day for me because obviously I get to listen to your guys' pod, and I am not regularly out about in the parties for Charlotte FC. So this is actually the first time I've really gotten to sit down and talk to you. So really, really glad to have you on the show, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. This is awesome.
So the number one question that I have had when people found out that you were coming onto the show is, everyone knows Charlotte FC does not actually have enough money to have used Taylor Swift's likeness in the stadium. So most people are assuming that you are in some obscure way related and pulled strings. Can you confirm yes or no?
I can confirm that our families are from the same area in Virginia. So we could actually be related. So I don't know.
Okay. Okay. So those of you out there that want to know who's really pulling the strings at Charlotte FC, this is nice that we get to talk to you now, because we have kind of been eating our way through the rumor mill through January. I think we had the big news that we really wanted Albert, and that the club was going to potentially drop up to $10 million on that signing. It ends up being a little bit of a play by the agent. It doesn't go through. This happens all the time in football. And, I'm sure you've seen it at other clubs as well. Now we actually have some stuff to talk about. The preseason has come. It has finally arrived for us. Before we get into the games, we do have one signing. I'm going to let you talk about him very briefly if you'd like to. There's a gentleman named David Bingham has come in. Goalkeeper for Charlotte FC now. You look at this signing. Anything particular you want to say?
It's not a fun signing. There's definitely other needs on the team, but you know, all teams carry at least three goalkeepers, sometimes four. You know, Isaac Walker is injured right now too, so this just could be some depth. I don't really look at this as a good or bad thing, other than we got some coverage, we've got some experience, and I know people are clamoring for a winger and maybe some defense, but these little signings happen. You have to bolster the squad where you can. So, but don't worry, we're gonna have some other signings coming in.
We're gonna have more fun stuff, I assure you. That's right. I hope. Obviously, and I'll hit you with this one a little bit out of the blue, but it's now not just the fans clamoring for signings. We have had the new coach, Dean Smith, come out and say, I would really like to see some speed on this team. He is really interested in, like you said, that left-footed defender. As far as the club is concerned, they have now put out statements that they're interested in, you know, potentially a young, fast attacker. Do you think anything significant is going to happen in the next couple weeks? Or do you feel like this is a situation where Dean Smith's going to bed in, the new technical director is going to bed in, and then we're going to go do our research? Or do you think they already have people on the table just waiting?
I would imagine that they already have some people on the table, you know, some targets that they've already looked at. I would imagine we'll see some moves pretty soon. But a lot of these things come at the end of the window, and that's typical for most teams. So I think we'll make some moves. It could be interleague. It could be bringing in outside talent. So I think we'll be okay. Where we may see some big, significant moves is in the summer. That's when the rest of the world is off, and typically that's when a lot of players move. So I could see us getting a few pieces and then bolstering the squad in the summer.
Yeah. We have made a couple of big summer transfers in the past. Obviously, it means they don't have the same time to bed into the team in the MLS the same way they would if they had come in preseason. I personally think having that time to bed in is quite beneficial. We see players across the world come in, and it sometimes takes them a whole season coming in cold, although Brecht Diagata obviously blew it out of the water last season, is a very challenging thing. That's kind of it for the transfer news. We would love to see signings. I think everybody knows that. I don't think I'm blowing anybody's mind there. Is there any final word you want on this before we go into a 3-3 draw as Charlotte does?
Yeah, I mean, one thing to keep in mind, too, I said this on our last show, is that because we had Jose from the Philadelphia Union, he covers them, and he made a good point. We just got Tommy Wilson as our new technical director, and Philly is really good at building a pipeline. So what we're going to see is a lot of folks coming through the academy, through Legacy, and joining the team. And I think that's going to be highly beneficial. So, you know, we may not sign a lot of players, but we'll have people coming into the squad that we're promoting. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah, I mean, we have already seen at least two examples of that. And I think most people are expecting that we're going to see a third. And the fact that we have seen the announcement of João Pedro, we've seen the announcement of Tchouaméni Dunze, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that correctly, but we will then hopefully see the announcement of Nikola Petkovic. Do you think the Petkovic thing is going to happen this year?
I think so. I think they're trying to make some room for him. I think the Kamil Usyak deal needs to pan out first, and you're seeing that we're getting international slots. So I think that's the plan. I think he did pick up a little bit of a knock in the scrimmage that we're going to talk about, but I think he has a bright future, and it's someone that I think could be a replacement for, you know, like a Westwood.
Mm-hmm. It's a Westwood heir apparent, if you will, which if you're going to come in and learn from anybody, Ashley Westwood is a pretty good guy to come in and learn from. Sure. He's got that teacher aura about him. You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Just going to help people along. This is a preseason game. I think the most important thing that I can ask is, some people swear by preseason. Some people say preseason is preseason is the real season. If you don't win in preseason, nothing matters. Some people say preseason means absolutely nothing. As a general rule, I tend to fall down a little bit towards the middle of this. For you, Matt, how important is preseason?
I think the results don't matter at all to me. I think what you want to look at is it gives our coach a way to assess the talent that we have, like in live games. And also too, I tweeted this out, it's a fresh start for a lot of players that maybe didn't get a lot of time under the previous coach. So I think it's a good way for everybody to start fresh. And then these preseason games, they're rotating the squads in and out. So people that typically don't maybe get a lot of playing time do. And also, too, you can start thinking about the formations, where everybody's going to play. I think about Privet. Where's he going to play this year? Does the coach, you know, see him as a defender or in the midfield? And these preseason games allows him to see that in real time.
Yeah, I think Privet is an interesting one to talk about. Obviously, I'll go through the starting lineup, which, to all of the listeners, credit to Matt for helping me nail down absolutely correctly before we went into this. So if anything in here is wrong, please blame both of us.
It's definitely my fault.
No, definitely my fault. I'm not going to let you take all of the pressure. I mean, most of it, but not all of it. Kalina, João Pedro, Andrew Privet, Dielson Malanda, Jalen Lindsay, Ayaka, Bronico, Arfield, Smalls, Capetti, and Tavares are essentially the 11 that go out in the beginning. And I think there's a couple of things that you can see from this. I look at preseason and I tend to see what I refer to as pods. a lot of the soccer community refers to these as pods, the left wing pod, the right wing pod, the attacking pod, the defensive pod. And I see a defensive pod that I think is probably consisting of players that maybe right now Dean Smith sees as has the chance to go on and are currently in the front runner for their spot. João Pedro, I think with the way he has come up, probably is because somebody really likes him. I'm not going to say who, but not a lot of people were talking about this guy, and all of a sudden he's on every front page. All of a sudden he's moving into the roster slot. And that's those people who follow Crown Legacy know he's very good. He is deserving of all of this. But before he was a whisper at best, and now everything's João Pedro. So either they're really trying to hype this guy up to keep some pressure off of them from transfers, or somebody's got a lot of belief. Matt, do you land really one way or the other here?
I think there's a strong belief by everybody in the club that he's a phenomenal talent. It's no secret that we've struggled defensively. Mm-hmm. So I think the fans, too, are like, yes, a good defender, we'll take that. So I think there's a lot of excitement around him. And yeah, also too, there's a little bit of like protecting your assets, you know, you don't want them to go elsewhere. So I think maybe a little bit of both.
Well, I think a lot of people would say in a Dean Smith system, a back line with Kalina, João Pedro, Andrew Privet, Adilson Milanda, and Jalen Lindsay in it probably has most of the defensive solidity Charlotte FC has, with maybe one or two exceptions, depending on how you see some other young potential. That felt like the lineup to me that he said, from a defensive standpoint, I want to know how these guys are going to do. Does that sound fair to you?
I think so. Don't forget Yuri, our left back. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of big questions on the defense, but I would like to see how Dean utilizes our fullbacks. Our left and right back. What's their positioning and strategy going to be like? So I think he'll probably need a couple more games to do that. And I think, you know, he'll picked up a little bit of a knock too. So that might force his hand about who is Milanda's center back pairing. But it will be interesting to see who he chooses in these next couple games. I think this first game was really just a glorified training session. So,
okay. Yeah, I look at this and you have an Arsenal scarf behind you.
Yes.
Yeah, if you've heard the show, I'm very much an Arsenal guy. And a 4-2-3-1 is a system that is not unfamiliar to most people who have followed Arsenal, and the way that they shift their fullbacks now in the modern era is something that somebody who, if they wanted to go out and put high pressure on a team, controlling pressure, would be a pretty good model. If you wanted someone to model Arsenal's current system of a right back, Jalen Lindsay is a pretty close fit with maybe some defensive challenges ahead of him. If you wanted to model that particular vision of a left back, Andrew Privet is a pretty good fit with maybe a little bit of attacking challenges in front of him. I don't necessarily, you know for certain that's how they lined up, but in my head with my own priors, it's easy to see and it gets me excited. Was there anything in this first lineup that really made you go, ooh, that could be fun?
Not really. It was more, you know, I like seeing Arfield out there first because I think he was a player that probably didn't get enough minutes. So it was good to see him out there first, getting minutes. And scoring. So that was good.
So obviously we are going to talk Arfield. He scores twice. So we're going to say something about him. And what I'm going to say about Arfield is this guy puts the ball in the back of the net. There are people in the world who I don't want to say defy logic, but scoring is hard. Getting yourself into a position to score alone at the professional level is hard. Doing it with the fastest players in the game is challenging. Think about how often Mackenzie Gaines managed to get into a place where he could score. Mackenzie Gaines can run faster than anybody on the team and probably all of them put together. Scott Arfield finds positions to score. And I cannot, express how hard that is. But more than that, he just seems to be able to pass the ball into the back of the net. Can we teach this, Matt? Can we get Scott Arfield to get people around and be like, hey, guys, it's just a ball and it's just a net. Put ball in net.
Well, I think one of the things that Arfield's good at is he'll just shoot the ball. Something our team just doesn't do. And I think Dean even said something to the effect of that is, you know, I forgot what the exact quote was, but don't make a good chance better. Like, just take your chances. And that's what he does. A lot of times it seemed like we were trying to walk the ball into the goal and it wasn't working. So it's good to have somebody out there that will take advantage when there's an opening. And hopefully other players will see that because he keeps scoring that way.
Yep. I do think there are stages of this. You know, I think if he comes on and starts regularly scoring for Charlotte FC, maybe more teams are going to tactically adjust and say, hey, that guy's dangerous. We have to do something about it. But everyone knows he's a threat off the bench, so they're certainly not leaving him entirely be. Either way, I think he's a really interesting piece in the team. I think I have always seen him as a leader, one of the dressing room guys, is going to bring that experience, is going to bring the culture. And like Ashley Westwood, he's going to be someone who is there to teach the young guys how to succeed in the world, not just in soccer.
Absolutely.
As far as you're concerned, Matt, do you view this guy as somebody who should be starting for us? And I realize, you know, we haven't had all our signings, et cetera, as somebody who should be starting games for us, or as somebody who should just be our threat off the bench and kind of a dad?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think maybe it depends on who we play. Sometimes when Scott would come in, I think Latanzio would have him play a little more defensively than I think he would have liked to. So I think I need to see some games where he goes 90 minutes to make a real determination. Hopefully maybe in the preseason we can see some of that, but I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence about it. I do like when he's on the field, he makes things happen. So put him on there. But at the same time, I don't know if the legs are there for, you know, 90 full minutes. Maybe you start him, take him out at 60 minutes, put somebody else in. So I don't know. But I do like him coming off the bench, though, too. Gives us a spark.
Okay, we're going to play a game here. League starts, not cups, not anything else. League starts over under 5 starts this season. Scott Arfield.
Yeah, I think he gets more than that.
You think he gets over 5?
I think so, yeah.
All right, we'll see. We'll see how it comes up. I do think that the inclusion of Tiger Smalls is interesting and fun. I don't really think it means anything other than it was interesting and fun. We see in the second half, we see Chitura Odunze, the absolutely massive human being that fills out the space of a goal. He is, if you have never seen him in person, he is genuinely as big as we massive. All make out. I saw him come in, and he has been from day one. He felt like one of those guys who is here to go try and chase somebody's shirt. From a technical perspective, Matt, I have not gotten to see that much of Chitura Odunze, other than what I can go and I can look at on Y-Scout and film.
Yep.
What has been your read on this young keeper? Because physically, he's got it. From a technical perspective, do you think he's ready? Maybe not to be the guy, but to step up to Kalina and say, I'm coming for you.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's what we need. I'm excited about this guy, too. So we need somebody that's good with their feet. I think Kalina struggled some, especially at the beginning of last season. I think he got better towards the end, but that's always a concern. And I guess it really depends on how Dean is wanting to play. Are we going to be playing out of the back? Are we playing it long? So, but I don't think he's ready to start, but I do like that he's almost ready and it's going to push the other goalkeepers.
Yeah. Always good to have competition for a place. I look at the second half, and really the thing that stands out for me in the second half is I see a midfield trio that I think we would be looking at in here, which is most likely Westwood, Petkovic, and Swiderski dropping deep. Would you say that's Swiderski in there, or would you say that's Diagata moving onto the inside?
Well, there's a big question about how we get Enzo and Swiderski on the field. So I lean more towards Swiderski. I don't know. That's gonna be a tough one. And it's going to be a big question for the coach, I guess.
Yeah, it would have been great to have been there and have this answer. But for regular listeners, normally we record on Wednesdays in order to get in. And Matt Swift is a very, very busy man. So in order to get him, we are recording on a Tuesday. So we might have a little bit more information coming out on Wednesday. If that stuff happens, it happens. So, you know, Matt, for the last one, I had to do like an extra pre-recording before we sent it out because we had just gotten the news of Brandon Cambridge's injury. So,
yeah,
it's amazing how they wait until right after you hit publish to do this, don't they?
Exactly. Yep. Absolutely.
That midfield to me is really interesting because I think that, like I said, Petkovic was always intended to come up. I think that he was always thought of as the future of Charlotte FC's midfield from a defensive standpoint, so long as he can do it, right? If he comes in and proves he can make it happen, he's the one with the golden road.
Yep.
It comes with the tutorship of Ashley Westwood. Dean Smith likes to play a 4-2-3-1. I'm not saying he's going to, but he likes that double pivot in the six. Those two seem like they make a lot of sense. Maybe that frees up Ashley Westwood to move a little bit forward. I would be excited by that. Thoughts on how this midfield might work?
I think the wild card is, how much does he rate Bronico? And would Westwood and Bronico be the double pivot? And then you have the attackers up front. So, like I said, a lot of questions to be answered. And again, the crazy one is, how do you get Swiderski and Enzo on the field at the same time? And I think once that's answered, the rest of the midfield kind of falls into place. If that makes sense. But I don't know. I don't know who he's going to put in that double pivot if he does do that.
Yeah, it's tough because you either look at finding time for Nikola Petkovic elsewhere, assuming that you answer the Carroll and Enzo question by moving Carroll to the 10, which I don't necessarily believe it's going to be, but let's assume for a moment that that's how we answer the question. You're either sitting down Brant Bronico, who is Charlotte FC hero, local guy. Nobody on the pitch works harder than he does. I do think he has a technical ceiling that can hold Charlotte back at times, but there's no doubt that he is an engine. Oh, go ahead.
No, you're right on it. Out of that double pivot, who is going to be going forward as well, too? We saw Brant go forward a lot, which I don't like that part of his game. I like him kind of like mopping up and sweeping up in front of the defense. But we've had two coaches now that have really liked him, and he's gotten, the most minutes basically of anybody else. So, yeah, I just don't know how Dean rates him and what's going to happen there. But with Petkovic, I think he'll get some minutes here and there off the bench. And then plus, we'll have like league games and or cup games and stuff like that. And so we'll see how that all plays out, but it's very interesting.
It will be developmental for him, but we hope we get to see him. Obviously, as of right now, he's not technically a Charlotte FC player. He's a Crown Legacy player. So we will move on from there. Obviously, Patrick Aguemong scores again. My final question and comment on these lineups here is Patrick Aguemong comes into the team, another physically supreme, is not the right way to say it, but physically, what am I looking for? Impressive player. He's got all the right physical tools for his position. He comes in, he has scored a couple times at MLS level. He has shown that he's willing to work with what the coaches are doing. And I heard a really good statement about Patrick Aguemong that I'm going to echo. And that is, he is one of those players who is capable of actualizing his potential. There are really good players out there in the world. And I'll use Vicinius Melo as one of them because we all know he's essentially on the way out at this point. I think Vicinius Melo is a technically incredibly gifted player. I do not have any knowledge of whether or not Vicinius Melo was capable of actualizing any of that gift. I feel like Patrick Aguemong, I really have no idea where his ceiling is. I think he needs to grow into his game. I think he needs to develop like everybody else. His ceiling could be MLS. His ceiling could be higher than that. But whatever he grows into his ceiling, I feel like he's then going to reach that growth. And I like that in a player. Thoughts on Aguemong and how you view him?
Yeah, he's a player that I really, really, really like a lot. He has the height. He has the speed. I think he's a good target man up top. He can bring the ball down and lay it off to people. And I think that's something that we were missing. And, you know, our coach said that everybody has to earn their spot. So, I mean, you have a big man that can play up front. That's hard to displace him. I would imagine our coach still kind of goes with Enzo, but I think Patrick's really going to push everybody. And again, what a threat coming off the bench too. So I'm very excited to see what he can do this season. He's a great guy. And to your point, I think he's one of those people that takes advantage of his chances and makes the most of them. And when he's come in, he's always done well. So just need to see more of him.
Yeah, he's another one of the young, talented prospects of Charlotte FC. Let's be honest, at this point in time, Charlotte FC feels like a wave of young, talented prospects who could be, and a lot of teachers. I mean, I think the way I would describe Ashley Westwood at this point in time, his career, as gifted as he is at this point in time, he's a teacher. I would describe Scott Arfield as a teacher. I would describe Breck Diagata as a teacher. You know, maybe that's a good one to touch on. Do you view Diagata as having a bigger impact on the season from minutes wise this year? Or do you feel like he's another one that's thread off the bench?
Yeah, I think, you know, he kind of had a mixed season last season. He definitely had some huge gaffes, but I think he's dangerous on the ball. And again, the way I think Dean wants to play, I think he's going to be more effective. I think he's going to, and he's not afraid to dribble at someone and challenge defenders. So I want to see more of that. Again, though, like that midfield, Swiderski could keep him out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah, lots of variables there.
All right. So my last question to you on players, this is outside of this game in particular, and that is, who do you feel like needs to come out of preseason saying, I'm here, boss, pick me?
I want to say maybe Patrick, because I just want to see more of him. I'd love to see him start some games. So we've talked about Brecht too. Yeah, so maybe both of those. Like I said, it's just such a big question mark in the midfield and how we're going to play. And then Vargas too. I want to see him stamp his spot. I want to see him starting every game. So I expect big things from him in this preseason and coming out of preseason.
Yeah, I'm big on the Vargas train. I think Vargas is another one of those players who's, I think I have now seen how high his ceiling can be. That's not true. I think I have seen that his ceiling is quite high. Whether or not he can break through even that, all the good credit to him, right? I have seen that his ceiling is quite high. Now I want to see him actualize it. Now, and maybe a good thought here is no Brandon Cambridge, as it looks like no Kamil Yushviak, no Mackenzie Gaines. Winger talent and winger competition is not strongly forthcoming unless you're willing to say that some of the guys who were brought in the draft this season are ready to step up, which is challenging. Tiger Smalls has an incredible history. I'm not sure I look at that player and I say, yeah, he's ready for MLS.
Yeah.
Do you feel like it helps him that maybe he has a chance to play his position with a little bit less pressure of, oh, if I make one bad dribble, there's somebody behind me on the bench?
I think so. Sometimes when players can play with a little bit of freedom and they're not afraid to make mistakes, I guess. Mm-hmm. They'll challenge someone. Because you're not going to win every opportunity, but I think there's this, you know, when you're scared to make a mistake, you're limited and you don't go forward, and we saw a lot of that. So hopefully there is a little more, you know, a little more relaxation and just go out there and have fun. Enjoy your football.
Enjoy the game. The last thing I'm going to talk to you, well, that's not true. The last thing I'm going to say on the preseason is obviously we draw another game. This, there's a lot of stuff going around on Twitter. Like here we go again, Charlotte. As a general rule for me, unless you just get absolutely blown out in a non-televised friendly, your first one of the season, doesn't really matter. Does this feel like it has more impact to you because of Charlotte FC's history, or is this just sometimes you tie games?
I don't think so. I mean, I think everybody's just you know, tired of the draws. We had so many last season, so I think everybody's just hyper-focused on that. But like I said, I don't really focus on the results. I'm just looking for individual players, seeing what they're doing and, you know, building a style. But hopefully we won't have as many draws this year. So, but we'll see. But I can understand people getting a little like, oh boy, here we go again. But I wouldn't read too much into it.
Are you a maths guy, Matt?
A mask guy?
Oh, a maths. Do you like math?
No, I'm horrible at math.
Okay. Well, there is a mathematical fact that if you go out to win every game and you refuse to take a draw, you are going to win and lose 50-50, right? You refuse to take a draw, you're going to win and lose 50-50. Now, obviously, your skill plays into that, but from a numbers perspective, you will do better forcing either a win or a loss than accepting draws throughout a season. And I think that there is that has become a very popular phenomenon in math, and especially in soccer. And I think that there are a lot of people out there that are just like, go, force the win, force the win, force the win. And to an extent, I'm one of them. Like, I can look at the spreadsheet just as well as anybody else, and I can tell you that we're going to come out 6 points better if we turn these games into wins and these games into draws. But actually winning is quite difficult. It's easy to say you can just go for it. It's hard to actually go for it. That kind of wraps up my thoughts on the first preseason game. Anything you want to throw in there?
No, I think that's pretty much it. I'm more looking forward to these other games that are going to be televised, and I have a better sense of how everything is going to shake out. So,
yep. So as far as these other games that are going to be televised, we are going to get the chance to watch them. I kind of stand on a side of the fence that I don't think is going to be super popular here. So everyone can be mad at me for this, and we can take any heat off Matt from earlier in the show. I actually really don't want these to be televised. I'll be honest, I would have preferred that we not know the scoreline of the first game. And the reason for that is it's good entertainment for us. And honestly, it even helps me personally, because when I get the news of the score and when I get the news of who went in and who subbed in, and I then have content that I can then bring to the listeners. It literally helps me, and I would still probably prefer as a Charlotte FC fan that they get to do all this behind closed doors. My reasoning for that is this is a brand new coach with a bunch of very young players essentially getting their first crack at this. Everybody misses their first crack. That's just the way life is. Doesn't matter how much football you've played in your life, the first time you play with a new team, it's going to be weird. You're going to pass to spaces that there's no player there because you're used to your old buddy always making that run. You're going to not connect with your defensive line the same way. You're going to let people in through the back because you didn't hold your line. Stuff like this is going to happen. And it's going to happen in ways that, in my opinion, are very bold and very flashy. And it usually cleans up in 2 or 3 months, right? Like in 2 or 3 months, everybody's got their playbook together. And then the TV cameras can be rolling and we can start to do a little bit more judgment of what's going on. I don't love the fact that the players are going to now be looking at these next ones and go, ah, man, I need to go show the coach that I can play my position. I need to go show that I can do more than just the average player, that I'm not just a safety net, that I can progress the ball, that I can take people on in the dribbles. But if I mess that up, now it's not just, hey, coach, I messed that one up. Now it's podcasts, it's news reporters, it's international media, depending on where you're from, all going, well, that guy took on 3 dribbles and succeeded at none of them. Is he the next flop? I don't know. It just feels like a pressure that we don't need for 2 games that don't matter. But I also know that I'm not on necessarily the best side of this argument. So, Matt, you are happy to see these televised. Tell me where I'm going wrong.
I think the only reason why I like it is that so many people want to see it. I like that the team is willing to do it and put it out. But I do understand your point, though, because what happens and what always frustrates me is that people tend to overreact. Mm-hmm. They'll start blaming players and like already starting to get this narrative that this player's this or that player's that or Dean is this and Dean is that. And preseason is all about finding your way, finding your style, letting players work into the team, finding out what's your best 11. And it's not pretty. So if people were a little more lax, then yeah, but people can be really harsh and it's preseason. So just, I'd say, show a little grace, enjoy the football, and the fact that the team's putting this on. And I do like that they are doing that for the fans that have kind of asked for it.
Mm-hmm. I also like that while it is publicized, it's not been forced, you know, like they've put it out on their social media, but they're also not like demanding everyone go watch this. So it's there for the people who want it, but not necessarily, hey, we're going to throw as much pressure as we can on. I do think it's been done well. I just personally feel like in a more perfect world, yada, yada.
The perfect example was the Charleston Battery game, right?
Yep.
First time coming out, first team, we don't do well and the team gets crucified. So
ultimately, it all comes out in the wash when we'll really start to lay down our thoughts on this team. Well, we'll be doing it all season. You'll be here with us, hopefully, as you will hopefully be with the Mint City Pod, guys. What we'll send it all out in the wash is the end of the season. When we are top of the table at the end of the 2024 season, that will be the time that I go, this was great.
That's right. That's right.
So we'll start to wrap it up here. I have a send-off question for you, Matt. And that is, as you go into the 2024 season, I make a joke about the fact that I'll say this was great if we're at the top of the table in the end. For you, what is a realistic setting where you say, I see success here? I see the project of Dean Smith in year one going in the right direction.
I think first and foremost, it's the playing style and the ethos of this team. So that's one thing. And then, you know, as far as where we land in the table, I think for me around like fifth would be good and then build from there. I still don't think with this squad that we're fully capable of challenging for first or second, but I think fifth would be a good progression and then just keep going from there and keep building from that. And yeah, I mean, you never know what's going to happen when you get in the playoffs, but I think more the playing style, more attractive football would be a breath of fresh air for everybody.
Yeah, when you looked at the league last year, you saw sort of the top one, let's be honest, you saw the top one, and then you saw the top two and three, and then sort of four and five were there chasing, and then it dropped off to six, seven, and eight, and obviously I think we snuck in ninth. I would like to see that this team sets up that ninth as a baseline and really tries to push forward to that seventh, sixth, fifth. I think fifth would be remarkable. My measure for success, I think, is going to be how the young players develop. If we get ninth again in Dean Smith's first season, but I see huge improvement in all of the young players, and it's just a matter of the fact that Ashley Westwood is not immortal and his game came off in the middle of the season and we didn't have somebody there to be Ashley Westwood, I will be able to live with that. Now, if Ashley Westwood is immortal and goes on and is unstoppable and all the young players develop and we do take second, third, first, etc., amazing. For me, I do think ninth is expected. I think this team has the talent. I think that you could not look at anything below that as anything other than we're not actualizing our potential. I would really like to see how these young guys kick on. That is going to be it for me. Matt, do you have anything you want to say? You want to send people over to the Mint City Pod?
Yeah, join us over at the Mint City Soccer Show. Yeah, we're on all the social platforms. We're trying to do some other content outside the podcast. So yeah, come join us over there.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. This has been awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on. We are going to be kicking off relatively shortly. You get to be on one of the announcement episodes, a Premier League version of the Crowncast. So we are going to be doing an expansion show, which, Matt, if you would like to, feel free to throw your hat in the ring as somebody to come on and join us once or twice, because we're going to have a lot of fun over there. Get excited for that. For now, thank you all so much. Most importantly, the listeners, you guys who have been with us from the beginning, whether you picked it up on this one, we love you. We say it every time and we mean it every time. Thank you all. We will talk to you next Wednesday when we have definitely signed players. Goodbye.
QueenCityPodcastNetwork.com.